I meant to add Wyatt Self to the prayer concerns a while ago. Mentioned him, wasn't here last Sunday and today, so we'll keep Wyatt in our prayers as well.
Little church music. Thank you very much.
All right. Okay. I didn't know where that was coming from. There we go. All right. We'll continue our series in the book of James, chapter 1. And today we're going to talk about the goodness of God, which we just celebrated Thanksgiving this past week, and you experienced the goodness of God, didn't you? At your feast, at your table, with your family, just this great nation that God allowed us to be a part of. So, this morning we will be reading verses 16 through 18, so follow along in your Bibles or on the screen with verse 16. Do not be deceived, James says. And then he says, my beloved children, or brethren, or friends. And then he says here in verse 17, every good thing is given, and every perfect gift is from above. Amen? It is. Coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. And then verse 18. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, talking about the word of God, the Bible, so that we would be kind of the first fruits among his creation or creatures. We are creatures, right? kind of odd creatures sometimes in this world. But God loves us anyway. He certainly does. So, in looking at this passage of Scripture here this morning, it's perfect for this time, this season. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. So here, James reminds us that God gives only good gifts. He does, doesn't he? He ain't never given me any bad gifts, has he? You? Never has, never will. And that's why James says he gives good gifts, and that the gifts come down from heaven. So, and also in the Scriptures here, it says that God is light. His goodness does not flicker like a faraway star. You know, often, I don't know, early this morning, I went out for daylight, looked up in the sky, you know, after the storm last night and the hail and all of that. And I went out early this morning, sun hadn't even come up, and I looked up in the sky, and it was beautiful. You could see the stars up there flickering. Hundreds light years away. And I think, God, you are good, your creation. The stars that we are under are the same ones from the very beginning of Abraham and Moses and all of those as they looked up in the skies and saw. So what a good God that we have. And then he begot us through his word, the Bible says here, and we are the first fruits of his creations. And the sample of what is to follow at Christ's coming. And if you read in Romans 8:23, it tells us that when he comes, you know, we are the first fruits of his divine sovereignty. So therefore, you know, Christians should not be swift to speak or complain when trials come. It's what James is saying. He said we should have joy. And sometimes it's hard to have joy during trials or hardships and things. But James is saying, look on the good side. God gives good gifts, and he knows what's going on in your life. He will be with you through trials and hardships. So trust him with all your circumstances. So rather, they should be swift to hear. We are, trust it, trust God, and then obey his word. So after all, God works out his will in our lives when we are patient, not when we are angry. Patience. Now, it doesn't help to get angry, does it? But the Bible does say if we get angry, sin not. Jesus, he got angry when they went into the temple and selling and bargaining and so forth like that. But that was a good thing that Jesus did that. And he didn't do it out of hatred anger, but in the anger of not sinning because they was misusing the temple for the wrong reasons. Now, I want us to look at the human good that comes from our Father, the perfect Father of creation. So first of all, this morning, listen to what James is saying here in verse 16 about sinful deception. Sinful deception. In verse 16 here, James' call is to be aware and stop this self-deception. Here again, he says, my beloved brothers or sisters or children. And then he's saying, stop. Stop being deceived. Now, just stop being deceived. It started back in the Garden of Eden, right? When Eve was deceived, Adam wasn't deceived, but deception has followed that through generations till now. But James is telling us, it's a warning, and it's a good warning to us that we should not be deceived or stop being self-deceived. You know, we have a choice. We have to make a choice if we're going to be deceived or we follow through with temptations and so forth. Satan's going to do that in our lives. And the closer you walk with the Lord, the harder he's going to work on you. Now, if you're not walking close with the Lord, if you're not in daily communication with the Lord, not reading his word, then Satan is not going to work too hard on you because he's got you right where he wants you. But if you walk uprightly, straight in a narrow path with the Lord, he's going to work hard, and especially on your weaknesses. So that's why James saying, be careful. This is a warning. This is a good warning to you to not be deceived. So the warning here, the reference, is what immediately precedes and what immediately follows. Previously, what we've studied and what follows now. So, first, with the reference to temptation, here in this verse 16, the deception is understood as a warning against not recognizing our sin and trying to excuse ourselves from the responsibility of sin. So, we all have a responsibility. We're accountable to the Lord, and we can never excuse sin. So the real guilty party is not from the external source, but it's the internal source, self, okay? So, James says right here, again, in verse 16, stop being deceived. Now, it's not that really hard if you think about it. Going back, it's a choice. If we're going to be deceived or self-deception, it's a choice. Yes, I'm being tempted here, but I'm not going to fall for it. I know Satan's behind it. Therefore, God is the giver of all perfect gifts. He's the giver of all good things. So I know this is not for coming from God. He's not tempting me here. Satan is. So if we're being deceived or we deceive ourselves, it's because we allow it to happen. So James says, stop doing that. So he also points out in verse 16 and 17 and 18, in this context, they are understood to be a warning against prideful belief. We can be prideful sometimes, that good comes from us instead of God, and nothing comes good from us. It all comes from God, and that's the goodness of God. So, it kind of reminds me of this illustration of self-deception. This colonel, he had just been appointed to a new position, a new rank, a new area, and he was in his office and he was getting things all fixed up and getting his stuff on his desk and setting his files up and everything. He happened to turn around and saw this corporal coming into his office, coming towards him, and he said, oh, I need to look busy. I need to act like I'm very important. So he picks up his phone and he says, yes, sir, I understand exactly what you're saying. I think that plan will work, and I think as soon as you implement it, everything will go just as like clockwork. And so he said, well, any way that I can help you, Colonel Schwarzkopf, he said, just let me know. I'll be right here to help you. Then he hangs up the phone. He turns to this corporal and he says, now, what can I do for you? So the guy was kind of embarrassed like. He said, well, sir, I came in here to hook up your phone. So here, Colonel, it was self-deception, and that's what James is talking about. You know, we try to be important. We try to, you know, show off sometimes, and then it catches up with us, and it caught up with him. So, see, what James is saying here this morning, and he's saying it to us, he's saying it to all of us, and to me as well. The world must stop deceiving itself into thinking that it can find what it wants through temptation, and it never happens or turns out for the good when we look at it in that way. So God is the only one that can give us what the inner soul truly needs. See, God is the only source of good, and He is the source of all that is good. So here in verse 17, James turns to whom we were, where good comes from. Okay, so let's look in verse 17 now, which is the source of all good. And we know that God is the source of all good. And then having learned that God is not responsible for our sin, we are, because we fall short of the glory of God. In verse 17, we see that God is the source of all that is good. And let's read this again in verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And I know probably this past week in Thanksgiving, that when you sit around the table with your family, some of you maybe share. Okay, share one thing you're thankful for. You ever do that around your family when you're sitting at the table on Thanksgiving or Christmas? One thing, and we do that. We do that sometimes with our kids and when they come in and so forth. And it's good to do, to be thankful. And it shows us, it shows one another what you're thankful for, and we're able to share that. And then James goes on to say, coming down from the Father of light, from whom there is no change and no shade of variation. So, looking at what James is saying here, he's saying that Satan tries to get us to doubt either God's goodness or the fact that all good comes from God. And Satan would tempt us to doubt. He would sow that seed in our mind to make us think that. The thought here in the first part of verse 17 is all kinds and all degrees of good are from God. So everything that is good in this world comes from God. And if it doesn't come from God, if all good things doesn't come from God, then guess what? It's not good. It's not good. It might appear to be good. It might look good. And sometimes things look good, like Eve. She looked upon the fruit, so it was good, and it was desirable to the eye. It was good. But God says, do not eat of this. God gave a command, and he expected obedience and accountability. And sometimes we fail in that area. So if it comes from God, it must be good. Even if it doesn't seem good at the time. Like Paul was thrown in the flesh. I was thinking about, as I was thinking about this message and so forth, you know, Paul, he didn't think it was good at the moment that he had the thorn in the flesh, because he prayed 3 times for it to be removed. And God said, you know, my grace is sufficient. My grace. And then Paul learned, yes, your grace was sufficient. Then he said, when I'm weak, I'm strong in the Lord. So it was good for me to have this thorn in the flesh. Sometimes it's good for us to go through various trials and hardships in our life to recognize God's goodness, because he's always with us through those trials and hardships. And that's what James is saying from the very beginning of this chapter to now. Matter of fact, going back to verse 2, where it says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. So count it a joy. Because he's saying, you know, God didn't bring this up on you, but he is with you. He is your guarantee through these things, and he will bless you as you hang in there. So let's remember to say what? Thank you. Thank you. You know, every day of my life, I thank the Lord for something. I do. Every day I say, Lord, thank you. Even in my prayers or something that happens, or, and it's always, I want to look at it as good, because actually Romans 8:28 says, all things work out for the good for those who love the Lord and who are called according to his will and his purpose. So he does work all good things out in our lives. So be willing to just say, Lord, thank you. Gratitude shouldn't be an occasional incident, but a continuous attitude, since God's goodness to us is a continual supply. Continual supply. He has all the resources, right, in this world. Well, I mean, we don't have it. It's God's. Everything that we have, anything we ever will have, all the good things that we have, God has provided that. Now, all good gifts from above continually come down, as verse 18 says, the Father of lights. See, God is the Father of lights, that he created all heavenly luminaries. I went out this morning early to look up in the sky. See, I always like to see what I can see. I see a lot of good things up there. But I didn't see the Milky Way this morning, okay? But when you think of the Father of lights, if you've ever seen a Milky Way of the galaxy, Milky Way galaxy, it's an array of stars and lights and so forth that just shines through the, and that only happens occasionally. But when you think about the Milky Way galaxy, in which planet Earth orbits, contains 1 million suns. You think about that. 1 million suns brighter than the Earth's sun. And if one could travel at the speed of light, and speed of light is 186 miles per second, it would take 100,000 years just to cross the Milky Way. You think about that. Isn't that fantastic? In God's creation, and man has been trying to figure this out all his life. He's from the beginning of technology and so forth. And when I worked at the Space Center down there, they was working on all of that stuff, and they will never ever get it figured out, you know, because it's so wide, it's so complex. The galaxy, just the figures that I just gave you, is beyond our comprehension. And that's why James says he's the father of all good things. He's the father of of lights, far beyond our imagination, and allows us to enjoy that. Yet, this is just one galaxy among millions, the Milky Way. And God created all lights in all the galaxies, and we haven't yet been able to comprehend them all. And another description of God is that he does not, undergo any shifty shadow or shade of variation. And the reason I say that is the movements of the sun, the moon, and the stars cause regular shifting of light and shadows throughout the day. Do you ever notice them? You will notice different changes in the shadows and the shades of the earth, but sometimes we go unnoticed. But never any of them are always the same. I think that's kind of unique. And it happens every day. Throughout all the seasons, you'll see a variation of shadows and variation of lights and shifting and the variations of God's galaxies and light and everything, but never one of them is ever the same. How unique that is. I think that's outstanding. So, no 2 days are alike. As a rotation of the earth on its axis around the sun provides an experience of continuous change. But you know something that doesn't change? See, God's character is always constant. Always constant. It's always true. It's always unchangeable, reliable, good, and faithful. What a God we have. Amen? What a God we have. And you know what? Upon that, and what James shares with us, makes me think, and I include myself in when I say this. Pray for consistency in your discipleship that increasingly reflects the faithfulness of God in your life. But we serve an awesome God. And then now in verse 18, I want us to look at the supreme gift. The supreme gift. Why Jesus came to this earth from the very beginning. And James even mentions it here. You know, the Gospels are full of the gift of life. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John talks about Jesus Christ and the gift of life and so forth. James gives, he shares all of these things with us, and in verse 18, he's saying, it's because of the gift of life. It's the gift that God gives us through his son, Jesus Christ. And in verse 18, into the new birth God has given his people, and we're going to be celebrating that this month in December, the birth of Jesus Christ. And in verse 18, which says, having willed it, he gave us birth by the word of truth, intending for us to be the certain first fruits of his creature. We're creatures, right? We're odd creatures sometimes. We're strange creatures. We can be beasts, can't we? But God created us and he said, it's good. It's good. Everything is good that God created. So the gift of the new life of birth is God's supreme gift to man. What is the supreme gift of the new birth? Well, God willed the greatest of all gifts to us. And that's the gift of the birth of Jesus Christ. And our new birth is God's goodness towards us. Bob read our scripture verse for the part of the week or for today, John 3:16. That pretty well explains it all, doesn't it? Why he came for the world. Now, God willed the greatest of all gifts, and that was through Jesus Christ. So our new birth is God's good will to us. And he is the author of our new life and purpose. See, God gives purpose to everything. And whatever we do in this life, we need to have a purpose. We need to show God and work out that purpose in our life that He has given us. God wills us to do that. And God gave us the birth because of His own grace and His own will. The new birth is God's gift to us. And in verse 18, it says, we are the first fruits of His creation. So the word of truth, our God's word right here, is what is used to produce new birth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, 17. So the new birth refers to a new creation. We are new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 said, if you be in Christ, you are a new creation. You're a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, new things have come. So Christians are the highest and the finest of God's creation. You think about that. We are the greatest and the highest and the finest of God's creation. And we share God's nature. You see, we have the nature of God. Our minds should be like the minds of Christ, thinking about the good things, the perfect gifts that God creates in our lives. So just as the Holy Spirit used the Word of God to give us spiritual birth, as He said to Nicodemus, you know, you must be born from above. You're born from below, but you must be born from above, from the Spirit of God. And He uses the Word to give that spiritual strength in our lives. So, in our conclusion this morning, the next time, and you think about this, the next time that you are in a trial or being tempted, meditate on the goodness of God to you. Think about that. When you're going through a trial or a temptation, just think about His goodness. Just think what He has done for you. How His outstretched hand is always extended out to you. Think about that. Meditate upon that. Trust God to lead you through your trials and to provide strength in your temptations. And then, see, you can trust Him in anything, in every circumstance in your life. See, He is the always faithful, and His intentions are always good, no matter what. And if you think that you need something, wait on the Lord, and guess what? He'll provide it. He will provide it. And I want to leave you with this. Never toy with the devil's bait, but seek after God's good gift. Don't toy with Satan. It's kind of like a giraffe. Think about a giraffe. You know how long a giraffe's neck is? Now, he can stand on the ground and reach a pretty high window. If you got that window open, he's going to get his head in there. Next thing you know, he'll have his whole body in. And that's what James is saying. Don't toy with him. Don't be self-deceived, because Satan will work his way in our life if we allow him. This is good instruction for us this morning in these three verses, 16, 17, and 18. It gives us a picture of our trials, being deceived, God's goodness, that we are the first fruits, and we can be thankful for all the good gifts He has given us. Count them one by one, and you'll see what God has done. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Our Father God, we thank You this morning. Lord, You are so awesome. And thank You so much for Your love. And as we enter this last month of the season, of the year, the month of December, this being the first day, first Sunday, Lord, may we just pause and meditate upon Your goodness, because we know that it flows continually. And Lord, all we got to do is look around and see how much we are blessed how you're always with us no matter where we go, where we travel. Your presence is always before us. And Lord, we thank you for the new birth, the new gift that you talked about here in verse 18, that you're the giver of life, and that life is eternal through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If there's anyone here today that doesn't know you personally, Lord, they can. All of us has heard your word this morning, your message. And all we got to do is, with our heart, openly respond, willingly. That's a choice. Yes, Lord, I respond to your invitation to come to Jesus Christ. Or no, I want to wait. It's not. But Lord, the waiting, sometimes Satan distracts us and causes us to even put it off even more. But Lord, your will is that we accept you unconditionally as you accept us. So Lord, during this invitation, Lord, you know who you're speaking to, who needs to make a decision for his salvation and maybe renewal of their life. Or maybe someone here that been coming and haven't joined this church, this fellowship, in the days today. Lord, I just pray your Holy Spirit work in a way, make it clear that even the youngest child here can understand. You're an awesome God again. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here this day. Thank you for being with us and answering our prayers and moving in our lives and working our lives daily. In your Son's precious name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is Softly and Tender. Let us stand as we sing.